From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The 5th annual Fort Myers Film Festival kicks off next week. The 5-day event includes screenings of a broad spectrum of intelligent independent films and documentaries from filmmakers around the world. We'll talk with festival organizers for a look at some of this year's offerings, and we'll hear from some filmmakers whose work will be featured this year. Plus, Governor Rick Scott recently declared March as Bike Month in Florida, but when it comes to safety for bicyclists sharing our roadways, the Sunshine State is the deadliest in the nation. Following a recent special investigation by the News Press, we'll explore what's behind the dangerous conditions and what's being done to make Florida roads safer for bicyclists and pedestrians. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for being with us. Governor Rick Scott recently declared March as Bike Month in Florida. But when it comes to safety for bicyclists sharing our roadways, the Sunshine State is the most lethal in the country. Across the state, 120 people were killed in accidents while riding bicycles in Florida roadways last year. And Southwest Florida in particular consistently ranks among some of the more dangerous regions in the state for bicyclists. For the rest of the hour, we'll explore what's behind these dangerous conditions. And that's everything from, you know, driver aggression and lack of safety education to ill-designed roadway infrastructure, lack of effective legislation to protect cyclists, and what's being done or not being done to make conditions safer and save lives. Joining us in studio is News Press reporter Janine Zeitlin. She recently published a special investigation about this topic, analyzing data in some 1,400 crashes involving vehicles and bicycles in Lee and Collier counties and detailing the stories behind many of our region's fatal accidents. Janine, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks for having me, John.
And joining us by phone is Dan Mosier. He's a founding member of the Bike Walk Lee Coalition and a Lee County and EMS traffic safety consultant. Dan, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Hi, John. Hi, Janine.
Hi, Dan.
And we're also speaking with Naples chef Brandon Walsh. His younger brother, Joel Nichols, was riding his bike home from work the evening of February 1st when he was struck and killed in a hit-and-run crash. His story is one of those chronicled in Janine's reporting. Brandon, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And I invite listeners to join our conversation as well. If you're a bicyclist, give us a call and tell us about your experience riding around Southwest Florida. Connect with our guests with a phone call to 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Janine, how long have you been working on this reporting project? And tell us a little bit about the process and kind of what got you started.
We started thinking about this and talking to people like Dan last year, maybe about 9 to 10 months ago, just on figuring out how we could approach the topic. I've had my own experiences on the roads where I experienced an aggressive driver, and I have a lot of friends and who are bicyclists and are on the roadways, and I heard some horror stories about, getting objects thrown at them and people cursing at them. And I started looking into the data and saw that Southwest Florida had some of the worst rates for bike crashes and fatalities.
And so when you're looking at the data related to these 1,400 crashes, what are you looking for?
Well, unfortunately, the data is, and the advocates at Bike Walk Lee warned me of this, but the data is not really kept in a very consistent format. So it was really difficult to even get the data in the first place. So, between my other work and having a baby in the past 9 months, a lot of it was just trying to chase down the information, because I would go from agency to agency, and the data was kept in one format in one section, and another agency didn't even track bike accidents or bike crashes. So this data was from the Transportation Department. I was really looking at kind of some of the causes, what's happening, what's the main cause of why these crashes are happening, and with the goal of trying to raise awareness and prevent them.
Were there any important patterns that you saw emerge?
And one of the things that I was interested in is in the causes of crashes and in the data. It wasn't complete data, unfortunately, but where there were reports available, it said that drivers that failed to yield were the main cause of crashes. And I think that points to just the need for people just to be aware that there are they're sharing the roadways with walkers and bikers. Another important point I would say was, which is kind of obvious, but that during season is when our roads are the worst for bicyclists.
Well, you also point out that we do have nice weather all year round, which might be another reason why Florida does rank so high.
Absolutely. In the report, I pointed out that Iowa only had 4 bicyclist deaths in the whole state last year. Lee County had 8. We had twice as many as Iowa, but Iowa people aren't riding their bikes during a large portion of the year.
Right.
And as people like Dan will point out, is that our roadways here are really slick and fast, and they're not many of them aren't built with bicyclists and pedestrians in mind.
All right. And Dan, let's go ahead and move on to that issue then, because I know that this is something that you work on. What is it about roadways around Southwest Florida that makes them perhaps unsafe for cyclists?
Well, I mean, things are getting better, fortunately, but we're living from the sins of the past, which is our suburban built environment, where everything was centered around getting around by car, and therefore the roads were built for efficiency, almost like some very good plumbing. But that doesn't work real well when there's vulnerable road users in the mix. And even, just by slapping on a bike lane or a side path, a sidewalk, doesn't always solve the problem, because you've built everything for speed and the efficiency of the vehicles and everyone's mindset then as a driver. And you got to see, it kind of washes over everyone once you get here, even visitors, that they're used to traveling at a higher speed and they want to keep going that fast. And when a bicyclist ends up in the mix, that sometimes doesn't work out very well.
And does your organization do much in the way of lobbying or trying to get local governments to build differently in the future or change existing roadways?
It's the whole reason for being for Bike Walk Lee, yes. The answer to that is absolutely. Complete streets is our whole goal, and complete streets generally means, as part of the design, is slowing down the roads where there's going to be bike and pedestrian. There are roads that are meant for speed, and the interstates are some of them, and other limited access roadways, but almost every other road you should be expecting people on foot, people on bicycle, and this, even for the motorists themselves, slowing things down is actually a benefit to everyone, and it drops those crash rates, and which means less injuries and less fatalities. And before I go any further, I just want to thank the local media, the news press, taking a major lead on it, but also some of the other media partners that we work with for bringing this thing to such great attention. It's so sad that some of the stories they're having to bring to light, but I think it's really raised the awareness that hopefully will turn into some very positive improvements.
All right. Well, let's take a phone call right now from Sean in North Fort Myers. Sean, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You're live. Did you have a comment or question for our guests?
Yeah, I just had a quick question or a quick comment about the pedestrians and the bicyclers getting hit all the time. Some of it is their fault. I see all the time driving around as a delivery driver, people from the bus stops, they cross right in the middle of the road, and we got some of the busiest streets in the world here in Florida. And, and then the bicyclers, they want to be treated just like any car on the road, but they don't follow the signs or the speed limits or the lights. They go right through the lights, they thread through traffic, at the lights, and it's just, part of it is their fault. That's all I just wanted to get through.
Thanks, Sean. And I think he makes a pretty valid point there. I was curious if, Janine, in your reporting and looking at these accidents, were the cyclists found to be at fault?
Yeah. Like I said before, the data wasn't complete, but the second main cause of crashes was no contributing action by the driver. So that does indicate that likely the bicyclist played a role in that crash happening, we did, you know, we tried to go deeper and get bicyclists fought, but that data was not available at all. I can say that, you know, the groups around, the cycling groups around Southwest Florida, like Naples Velo and the Calusa Riders Bicycle, they realize that, you know, they're representative of, they want their riders to abide by the laws. So they even, like Naples Velo has a safety petition on their site that they ask all their riders to sign that says they'll abide by all traffic laws, which means, you know, stopping at red lights. And Calusa Riders expects as their riders to abide by the traffic laws as well. But of course, there are people who are breaking the laws out there, regardless, bicyclists as well.
Well, let's take another call from Richard in Fort Myers. Richard, you're live on the air.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was. I'm trying to cross the road on 41. Which at south of Boy Scout Road. And as I was crossing, I had some cargo on my bike that shifted, and I got stuck out in the middle. And granted, I was stuck out in the middle, but the light that I was going crossing with changed from green to red. So I'm stuck out there in the street, and it's well lit. And this, I heard this truck, I mean, I heard this car, vehicle, anyway, speed up as I was approaching the middle. So he was out to teach me a lesson. So anyway, he slammed on the brakes, came to a stop, and was yelling, calling me a moron and all that other kind of stuff. And while he's calling me a moron, he gets rear-ended. And then 15 seconds later, another guy rear-ends the guy that rear-ended him. And then about another 5 or 10 seconds, another guy runs into him. Uh-huh. So about three or four cars out there. There were bumpers and smoke and radiators and coolant everywhere. And I'm telling you that, I mean, it seems like, how can that happen? Are these folks not watching the road? Do they not know how to drive defensively down here? Or is it every man for himself? It seems to be every man for himself, and actually drivers resent bicyclists. I'm from Indiana, and we drive from a defensive. If I see somebody on a bike on the right, I'll try to get over because it's just courtesy and it's just precaution. Down here, that doesn't happen. It seems to be if you're out on the street, you're almost fair game. And that's my comment.
Richard, thanks so much for calling. And I think he brings up some real interesting points that were definitely featured in your reporting, Janine. I don't know about the three-car pileup there, but the aggression that he's talking about and the intimidation, is that pretty common?
Well,
you know, can you hear me on this end of the phone? Or?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Well, you know, he actually does bring a valid point because, you know, what I think a lot of the times is that cars, they think they're bigger and heavier. They think they got the right way of the road, which in turn, bicyclists are considered pedestrians, whether crossing the intersection like they're supposed to be doing and people looking left and not right and just making a turn without any precaution, thinking that they basically, you know, have, like I said, the right way of the road. Mm-hmm. You know, when in turn, you know, bicyclists are considered pedestrians and should be watched for whether crossing the crosswalk or not.
Dan, can you maybe quickly go over what the laws are regarding
motorists and cyclists?
Yeah.
A bicyclist actually has two different status. And if they're on a side path, which also includes the crosswalks, whether they're marked or unmarked, but if it's a continuation of the other street, they would be pedestrians, and they don't have to be dismounted from their bike. They'd be riding it. Once they're in the roadway, however, they take on the status of a vehicle operator. That's almost identical to any other motorist laws, but there are some that just by, you know, the natural things, you can't make minimum speeds and things like that are not required of a bicyclist. So they do have, you know, have a higher level of obligation in the roadway. But in both cases, you know, the bicyclist is a vulnerable road user. And the story that was just told by the caller is something that, I mean, I had to hold back a chuckle because it's not that funny that people got in crashes and hopefully no one was hurt, especially not him. But we seem to have no empathy for each other. And this guy, you know, has a little breakdown. I've seen people crossing with their child and the kid drops something out of their stroller. Mom has to go back. She's hung out to dry in the crosswalk, and the motorists don't give her the right to complete her crossing, and
right.
put the scare into her. And that's just not humane. That's not what civil life is supposed to be like. But unfortunately, again, I'm going to bring it back to the design. When you get people used to being able to have a free flow, that's why we have so many people mad at red lights because there's so many of them, and they're not moving the way they want to, and then they don't. Then they don't follow the rules of the crosswalks and whatnot and allow the pedestrians to use them properly because they want to get moving.
Right. Well, a lot of times they're in a rush, late for work or whatever, and then just, you know, they pay no never mind to what's going on around them other than to get into their point of destination.
Brandon, I was hoping, you know, at this point in the conversation, maybe you could tell us a bit about your brother Joel and just exactly what happened.
Oh, well, he was on his way home from work, you know, going with the flow of traffic in his bicycle lane. And, you know, unfortunately, the guy was drinking and under the influence. It was dark at night, so the road that was he was riding on was, you know, poorly lit, not a really serviceable road other than, you know, meant for traffic. I mean, it did have a bicycle lane, but morally meant for, like you said, high-speed traffic, highway, if you will. And the driver swerved over off into the bicycle lane and rear-ended him, ejecting him into a ditch. And that's where he laid, and the driver took off. I didn't call the police, didn't stop, left him in the ditch for 11 hours, and eventually led to death. Whether it was instantaneous, you know, I hope it was. But that's basically, you know, the gist of it.
Wow, and of course, we're, you know, our hearts really go out to you for that loss. That's really terrible. Before Joel's death, had you really even thought much about the potential dangers inherent in simply riding a bike along a roadway in our communities here?
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, I mean, he does what he had to do. You know, lights, reflectors. Like I said, following the traffic rules, but that doesn't always help when, you know, drivers take it upon themselves to. You know, drive intoxicated, drive beyond the speed limits, not pay attention to what's going on in their surroundings, whether it's a bicyclist, a pedestrian, or, you know, a vehicle. You know, I think it should all be taken into consideration, whether it's another car that's being involved or whether it's, like you said, a mother crossing the street with her kid. You know, you need to be aware of what's going on in your surroundings or, you know, devastating things happen.
And prior to, you know, talking to Janine and seeing her reporting, had you realized the extent of this problem and maybe how many other folks are grieving similarly to you are because they've lost a loved one in a similar way?
Yeah, I did read some of I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but the lady that did the interview with me last time, the one that referred me to this program. She had several accounts of things that have happened on similar roadways and similar conditions, which, you know, made me realize that, you know, this goes on more than it should, really. You know, I mean, you shouldn't have to be scared to ride your bicycle down the street because someone's drinking or driving or in a rush late for work.
Right.
Especially if you're following the road rules.
Well, and Janine reports that bike crashes in Collier County jumped nearly 40% in the past 3 years and increased 71% in Lee County. Dan Mosher, what do you think accounts for this concerning and rapid increase?
Boy, that is the million-dollar question. One thing that I guess could be looked at as a positive in a way, not the crashes themselves, but the proliferation of cyclists and pedestrians out there. I mean, I was on Sanibel today. And the huge numbers of people, not just on the island, but, you know, taken from McGregor, downtown Fort Myers, all the way in, using Summerlin and all, there are folks everywhere, absolutely everywhere. The trouble that I'm seeing, though, is that the driving is not adjusting appropriately, the driving behavior of people. The good news about all that is the more people that are out there bicycling, more people out there walking and running on a regular basis, it it's got to turn into something positive in their driving behavior. When they've had enough close calls or realize what can happen from their own experiences, that should have a good effect. If the state of Florida would only do something about their lack of requiring enough education and awareness for everyone, but the motorists in particular, it's so easy to get your driver's license here, it's so easy to keep it, transfer it from another state. I do driving assessments of people that get referred, and it's just amazing sometimes the folks that are on the road, and that will be kept on the road because there's no legal means to get them off, even when they're suspect and have deficiencies. And, you know, as long as we're going to continue just giving out driver's licenses like water and not requiring continuing education or anything like that or remediation, I think we're going to continue having this even when some of the designs get better.
Do you think improved education could, you know, do a lot to change this public perception? And by that, I'm just speaking about the road rage against cyclists being almost acceptable. Janine, you reported late last year about a threat made on social media by someone who turned out to be a Collier County Human Services supervisor.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of drivers still feel like bicyclists shouldn't be on the road. You know, when the news press announced that we were going to be here today, the first comment that we got was their advice was to stay off the road. And, you know, I think we need to get past that because the law is that bicyclists are allowed to be on the road. And even if that makes you angry, you kind of need to take a deep breath and tolerate them because there have been several outbursts of anger. You know, there was one case in Naples where it was a hit and run victim and allegedly the driver spit in the face of the bicyclist as the bicyclist was on the side of the road bleeding after she hit him. There was another case where in the Cape, the bicyclist asked for space and to slow down because this driver was going so fast. And the man fired shots at him.
Wow.
This was all in the all in the past year. And unfortunately, I hear so many instances of this. And this is not to say this is a minority of drivers on the road, but there are some pretty bad apples. And even if you don't agree with the fact that bicyclists should be there, you know, you don't really have a choice unless you change the law. So if you want to change the law, you know, I always tell people, write your lawmakers.
You know what else, Jeanine, is, you know, I can guarantee that most of the motorists on the road, they also own bikes and ride bikes at some point in their life. And I'm sure that they expect the same courtesy when they're riding their bikes with their kids down the road or them by themselves.
I think that's a really good point, Brandon, because people talk about, you know, well, we pay taxes, the drivers pay for the roadways. Well, most of the bicyclists are drivers as well, and so they are contributing to the environment and should be able to use the environment safely.
Mm-hmm. And, Jeanine, I did want to take a moment just to address one I think is a common misconception, and that's about who is hitting bicyclists. And you had mentioned that senior drivers get a bad rap for that, but that turned out to not really be the case.
At least in our data set, we've found that it was mostly the 20-somethings, and then after that, it was the 40-somethings that were the top folks that were involved in bike-involved crashes. I had one person point out to me that, well, perhaps that's because that seniors aren't using the roadways as much, but I still think that, you know, when that's an important point.
Mm. And also even the types of vehicles involved, I was surprised by that data as well because I would have assumed that larger vehicles like trucks and SUVs would be more likely to, just because they take up more physical space, to accidentally, you know, have an encounter with a cyclist. But that's not the case either.
No, we found that passenger cars were by far the most involved with bike crashes. And like you said, I had this perception because speaking with bicyclists and pedestrians and my own experiences that these big wheeled vehicles are the ones that would be more involved, but it's not.
And you had also reported that, you know, the Florida Department of Transportation has, you know, begun to really recognize this as an issue and really make it more of a priority. Do you know specifically about any plans that they have or anything that they're doing to identify dangerous areas and address the problem?
Well, Dan might be able to speak to this better because we are in the reporting process of our solutions package for this series. But Florida Department of Transportation is doing a lot. They have really made making the roadways safer for bicyclists and pedestrians a priority, and they're in repaving projects, for example, trying to make bike lanes larger and the traffic lanes more narrow. And one of the proponents here, Billy Hathaway, I've spoken to him about it, and they really have a lot, but you can't fix a big problem like that overnight.
And throughout the whole process of doing this reporting, how has that impacted your, I guess, your personal view on riding and being safe around here? I mean, would you go out on a bike today?
I wrote a piece actually on how I don't bike on the roads anymore, and probably, you know, it doesn't help that I'm in a newsroom and I've been writing about all these crashes and statistics, and I would go in my neighborhood, but I stopped riding on the roads several years ago. But Dan Mosier has challenged me to kind of get back on the roadways. I'm actually taking one of his cycling savvy intro lessons next Monday. So hopefully, I can get to the point where I feel a little more confident.
Excellent. Well, that is about all the time we have for today's show. But thank you, Janine, Dan, and Brandon, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Brandon Walsh is a Naples resident whose younger brother, Joel Nichols, was killed earlier this year when riding his bicycle and hit in a hit-and-run crash. Dan Mosier is a founding member of the Bike Walk Lee Coalition and a Lee County and EMS traffic safety consultant. And Janine Zeitlin is the reporter behind the recent News Press special reporting project on bicycle and pedestrian safety. And you can read that series online at news-press.com. And there is more to come from that series as well. There's more information on today's show and past editions of the program online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Continue the conversation on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers Richard Chinqui and Luke Martin. This is WGCU Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.